Vice welcomes you to the Tom Green Podcast for this week, as we'll be previewing Lions Dolphins and Michigan Michigan State, of course. So welcome to the show. If you're a fan of Miami Vice, welcome to this edition of that show, I guess, if you want to consider it that. As for me and the previews, let's go to Michigan Michigan State, shall we? So as of now, Michigan is a 90.2% favorite to Michigan State's 9.8. Passing yards, we're just getting right to it, as you can hear. Peyton Thorne with 1,499 yards, 11 touchdowns, 7 picks. J.J. McCarthy, 1,297 yards, 9 touchdowns and 2 picks. Yardage advantage, Thorne. Offensive line advantage, Michigan. Rushing yards, Berger with 367 yards, 5 touchdowns. Blake Corum, 901 yards and 13 touchdowns, advantage Corum. Receiving yards, Coleman with 393 and 5 touchdowns. Ronnie Bell with 429 yards and 1 touchdown. As Bell is no longer injured, advantage Bell. As for the pick center, Michigan is a 23-point favorite. Michigan is minus 2,000 on the money line, and State is plus 1050. The over-under is 55. So, it's a rivalry game. Make no mistake about it. You throw out the record books in a rivalry game. The Michigan Wolverines, on paper, should cover this 23-point spread. The Michigan State Spartans, however, have other ideas. And so do Michigan State fans. That said, your keys to the game? If I were Michigan State, I would be watching and dissecting the hell out of the Maryland film against Michigan. Because Maryland found Michigan's weaknesses, and Maryland did hold Michigan at bay for a long time in that game. If you can do a lot of the same things that Maryland does, then you have a shot at beating Michigan. As far as Michigan goes, that's pretty much my only key for Michigan State is, did you watch the Maryland tape? If the answer is yes, this is going to be a close game. If the answer is no, Michigan is going to cover this spread. As for the Wolverines, Blake Corum, keep doing what you're doing. He's running the ball well, so is Donovan Edwards. It's great to have Donovan Edwards on this team as well. It's always great to be a Michigan Wolverine, in the opinion of yours truly. Second of all, don't overlook State. This is a year that things can kind of feel that way if you're a Michigan fan. If you're a Michigan State fan, you have this game circled on your calendar as the game of the year. Because look what Michigan State did against Ohio State. They laid an absolute egg. C.J. Stroud was dropping passes like they were nothing against Michigan State. The only thing Michigan State could really do well in that game and against Washington, I say that best, is goal line stand defense. So I guess that's another key to a Michigan State victory, is keep the goal line stand defense how you have had it, because they have had some impressive goal line stands this year. I'm not going to sit here and just trash Michigan State to shreds. My fandom wants me to do that. My analytical side doesn't. So that's a key to a Michigan State victory, actually, is watch the Maryland tape, continue your goal line stand defense. For Michigan, of course, like I said, Corum, continue to do what you've been doing. J.J. McCarthy, Cade McNamara, don't make too many mistakes. Win the turnover game. Michigan plays their game. They should win this game by 3 scores. But in a rivalry game, that never happens, does it? Unless, of course, it's 2013 and 2014. Michigan 31, Michigan State 17. State does find a score or two early, but Michigan hammers away and takes care of business in the third and fourth quarter. As for the Detroit Lions, let's go to them real quick. I have a funny video when it comes to the pick-ems coming up just a little bit. You'll like it. 4-3 Miami Dolphins against 1-5 Detroit Lions. Miami is a 65.3% favorite versus Detroit's 34.3%. 0.4% chance this game ends in a tie. Tua, 1,296 yards, 9 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions versus Goff, 1,583 yards, 11 touchdowns, and 6 interceptions. Yardage-wise, advantage Goff. Line-wise, maybe advantage Goff as well, but Tua, of course, has sidelined with that concussion that we have all seen at least some perspective of. Rushing yards, Raheem Mostert, 388 yards and 1 touchdown. Jamal Williams, 411 yards, 6 touchdowns. Depending on if Swift is back, advantage Jamal Williams. Receiving yards, Tyreek Hill, 773 yards, 2 touchdowns. Josh Reynolds, 343 yards, 2 touchdowns. Obvious advantage, Tyreek Hill. Pick center, Dolphins are a 3.5-point favorite to Detroit's plus 3.5. Dolphins are a minus 190 on the money line versus Detroit's plus 158. The over-under is 51.5. So in this game, the Dolphins definitely look to be the better team than Detroit. I mean, Detroit right now holds the number one overall draft pick. As far as last week went, the score was not necessarily indicative of how the game played. Detroit gave a valiant, valiant defensive effort against the Dallas Cowboy offense that just got Dak Prescott back and should have probably aerated that defense for 5 or 6 touchdowns. At the end of the day, they only scored 3 or 4, and 2 of them were late when the game was already in hand. So if you think about it, Jamal Williams doesn't fumble at the 1-yard line, Detroit's got a lead in the fourth quarter. I know this story well. I've seen this story before. One thing here, one thing there, they win, they don't. I get it. But fact of the matter is, they are not, Detroit is not playing like a 1-5 team. They are playing indicative of a 2-3 or a 2-4, 3-4-ish team. They're playing like that. 500 ball. Their record is not indicative of who they are as a team. That said, keys to the game. Dolphins, Detroit's defense is still pretty porous. I know I've said what I did just recently. Detroit's defense is still fairly porous. Go to Tyreek. Go to Jalen Waddle. It will do wonders. Win the turnover game, per usual. And score in the red zone. Maybe I could be wrong, but part of Miami's problem has been red zone efficiency. If they can score in the red zone, of course, if any team can score in the red zone, any team can beat anybody. But that's one thing I would the one thing I would focus on intently is red zone efficiency. As for the Lions offense, don't fumble the ball at the 1-yard line. Don't turn the ball over as much as they did last week. Keep playing the valiant defense you have, because it should have beaten Dallas. I'll say it. Detroit should have beaten Dallas last week. They should have. They didn't. Because of the turnovers. I pick an upset in this game, as I feel the Lions will get on their somewhat winning ways again by a field goal, 27-24. Picking an upset this week because I commend the effort that Detroit had in that game against Dallas, for sure. So with that being said, let's go to the pick'ems, shall we? 3 college games, 5 NFL games, and of course the bonus game. We'll start in college as always. Ohio State and Penn State. This would prospectively be the bonus game if it weren't ranked versus ranked. It's at Penn State, but it's at noon. Ohio State did lose to Penn State, but way back in 2016. They're not going to do that this time. 24-10, Ohio State over Penn State. Oklahoma State and Kansas State. Mullets against Kelly in Vegas. Hard for me to pick this one. I'm going to pick Oklahoma State by a field goal because I like mullets. And, of course, Spencer Sanders is decent, and Kansas State's on their third string quarterback, that is. Kentucky and Tennessee, expect a high-scoring game at Neyland Stadium. Tennessee just beat Alabama. Do they have a letdown this week? I am unsure. Kentucky's a team that would seemingly have a letdown With the first college football rankings coming in front of us, I'm going to pick Tennessee to win by a field goal. And now for the video that we've all been waiting for. Denver and Jacksonville. Hit it.
I don't really get jet lag too often. You know, I don't really, I've traveled enough to get, you know, kind of get my system down. But yeah, for me, I was on the plane the first 2 hours. I was, first 2 hours, probably eight hours flight here. That's the first 2 hours I was watching the film, watching all the cut ups and everything else. And then for the next 4 hours, I was doing treatment on the plane. I was walking up and down the aisles. Everybody was knocked out. I was doing high knees and working on my legs and everything else, you know, make sure I'm ready to rock. So that was good. And then the last hour of that, I fell asleep for 1 hour, and then I watched the film the rest. So I felt good to go once we got back. And then we had, you know, Coach did a great job. Coach Landau and the whole coaching staff, they had us do a little movement. So we got here, did a little movement, I did my pool workout, did all that. And then, maybe rested for about 2-3 hours once I got home, and I feel great. First time you're on treatment
on a plane. Indeed. Russell Wilson openly admits to doing high knees on an airplane. Well, it was in the air. So I was asking a few people this week, what would they do if you were on an 8-hour flight? I got answers that mostly consisted of sleeping to getting cabin fever. None of them were doing high knees along the aisles. So Russell Wilson, and I can hardly do this without breaking down laughing myself. What are you doing? What exactly are you doing? You're doing high knees on an airplane while everybody's sleeping in the middle of the night? Are you insane? Are you absolutely positively insane? Russell Wilson, one of a kind. A one of a kind quarterback that's going to one of a kind lose to the Jags and go 2-6 as the Jags are going to win this by 10 because Russell Wilson decided to do high knees on an airplane. That's my basis of this game in London. Jacksonville 31, Denver 21. And somehow Denver scores a garbage time touchdown to make it 10 points. Russell Wilson, one of a kind and someone that I do not know his strength or energy, but my God, high knees on an airplane through the aisle. I may have to do that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to lose my mind over it. Maybe I have, but my goodness, my goodness. Las Vegas and New Orleans. Not in Sin City, in the Big Easy. Give me the Saints by a field goal despite Andy Dalton starting. It's at 1 p.m. Eastern, which means Andy Dalton will be halfway decent. Patriots-Jets. I did not expect this to be a pick'em game to start the year, nor do I expect how I am going to pick it to be the way I pick it. But indeed, Kenny Pickett's not picking it. It's Zach Wilson that's picking it. And he's not picking it like pick six. He's picking it like getting that ball to the wide receivers. And that running game is decent. And that defense is somewhat all right. So you know what? Damn it, I'm picking the Jets by a field goal. I can't believe I'm doing it, but I am. Because the Patriots laid an egg at home on Monday night against Chicago. An absolute egg they laid. Tennessee and Houston, I've said it before, AFC South games are the worst games to pick. You get good games, you get crap games. I'm going Houston only because it's at home. I'm probably going to be wrong by 20. San Francisco and the Rams, divisional game. I've bounced back and forth on this one. I'm going to pick San Francisco on the show. I think I picked the Rams in a couple of different pools. I'm picking San Francisco on the show. Now the bonus game, Florida and Georgia. A very interesting bonus game, a bonus game I did not think would be the bonus game, but it is the bonus game. Are you tired of me saying bonus game? No, you're not, because it's the bonus game. Georgia is a 22.5 point favorite in this game. Do they cover? Florida has been up and down. I mean, they beat Utah by 4, I believe. On opening week, they've looked okay since. Georgia has surprised me in this bonus segment. I'm going to say no. Georgia 41, Florida 24. I'm going to say 17 points, so I'm going to say no on the bonus. So, with that said, going through the pick-ems again, Ohio State, Penn State, Ohio State, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, Kentucky, Tennessee, Tennessee, Denver and Jacksonville, Jacksonville, Las Vegas and New Orleans, the Saints, New England and the Jets, Tennessee and Houston, Tennessee, San Francisco and the Rams, San Francisco. Will Georgia cover 22.5 against Florida? They will not. We're back at it next week for Lions Packers. Hope to hear from you then. Actually, I have a bonus clip courtesy of the Ravens and a former podcast guest, Stormy Bonatoni, who shared this clip on her Insta stories.
And you guys know this guy. Let's talk this a little bit, J-Tuck.
I mean, what do you want to know? What are we doing on the plane ride back home? I heard Lamar's leading us in high knees, Ravens flock, less fly.